Today, the New York Times has a story, as we're about to go to Mark Ballard, and we'll talk with him about a few different things. But, of course, coronavirus is something that has engaged the public, and for good reason. One of the hottest movies in the Warner Brothers library is a 9-year-old drama from Steven Soderbergh of Baton Rouge. It kills off Gwyneth Paltrow in the first 15 minutes. Fears of the coronavirus have prompted movie fans to re-examine the Soderbergh star-studded 2011 thriller Contagion. It's a fictional account of a pandemic that kills 26 million people worldwide. According to Warner Brothers, the film was listed as number 270 among its catalog titles at the end of December. Since the start of 2020, Contagion from Steven Soderbergh has jumped to number 2, bested only by Harry Potter movies. It's also trending on Amazon Prime Video and is flirted with the iTunes top 10. Barry Jenkins, the writer and director of Moonlight, the Best Picture winner at 2017's Oscars, was one of the people who found himself interested in the film. He said he watched Contagion with his girlfriend, and he was, of course, captivated about this story. And we don't know where coronavirus is going, but the markets, of course, have responded negatively to these reports, and the President of the United States has been making statements that have been at odds with what health officials have said. He told Sean Hannity in an interview last night that people should go to work if they have coronavirus. And, of course, health officials say, no way, don't do it, don't do it. Mark Ballard is at the Mission Control, State Capitol, Center of the Universe in Baton Rouge, and perhaps for the state of Louisiana. And Mark, is the session is about to start come Monday. Is there concern about coronavirus in our midst?
There's a lot of concern, and that is a great movie, and I can't get my wife to watch it right now because of it. But there is a lot of concern about it, but then there's not a lot of concern about it because we haven't really had anyone in Louisiana yet. I imagine that, you know, when and I think it's going to be a win instead of if somebody gets it, then we'll see a lot more concern in and around, you know, not just at the state capitol, but also like for LSU the basketball games and baseball games and that sort of thing.
Well, the president, as mentioned last night on Sean Hannity's program on Fox, spun a web of theories minimizing the threat to Americans, accusing the World Health Organization of dispensing inaccurate facts about the outbreak and suggesting that those with the disease should be safe going to work. During expansive remarks on Hannity's program, President Trump continued to break with public health officials' more dire messaging regarding the international crisis and contradicted the WHO, which early in the week pegged the global mortality rate for the coronavirus at 3.4%. The president, of course, knows this is bad for business and perhaps bad for his reelection, and he's trying to downplay it. And the markets don't know what to do. Yesterday, they were up 1,200 points, largely on Joe Biden emerging as a front runner over Bernie Sanders. Today, in the early going, the Dow is already down 674 points. Mark, it is an uncertain world, and this has the whole planet concerned, and perhaps for very good reason.
Right, and part of me agrees with what the president says is in that we shouldn't worry about it until we need to worry about it. And part of me agrees with what James Carville said yesterday, and that there's as far as it being a hoax, you know, there's a lot of people that still believe there's a flat Earth. So,
well, and they don't believe in vaccines, and people, of course, are going to do what they're going to do, and also poor people may not go to the doctor as readily as others. So we really don't know how many people have this right now.
Right. They don't have enough of the kits here, and that they're following a very strict guidelines as to what the testing is going to be. And so, I mean, we could have far more if they expand the testing to include more people. And right now that's not in the cards. It will be soon, I imagine, when they get more of these kits available.
But it could affect many things, including spectator events, which means in Louisiana football in the fall, and you can only imagine. And they're concerned more about indoor arenas. So what happens if the Saints aren't playing in the Superdome in September? That could be a disaster for the morale of the state beyond comprehension, Mark Ballard.
If it lasts into the fall, or if it reemerges strongly in the fall, I think the more immediate concern is basketball. As we're about to go into March Madness, right. What's that going to impact?
Yeah, and a listener, Heather, already notes that when the Saints got were unavailable to play in the Dome in 2005 because of Katrina, they played their games here at Tiger Stadium, so who knows, maybe they'll be back. But there may be jeopardy as far as games in Tiger Stadium as well, depending on what happens with coronavirus. We're going to talk with Mark Ballard about a few different measures and matters, and if you'd like to chime in, 877-217-5757. We're back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And we are going to talk about a few matters with Mark Ballard of The Advocate, the Capitol Bureau Chief, including what happened on Super Tuesday. Right now, the apparatus that was in place for Michael Bloomberg has gone away. Maybe it'll go to Joe Biden. He's endorsed him, but he's left the trail as far as running for president of the United States, and now we have a Senate race that's less than 33 weeks away from the finish line. I just heard Bill Cassidy say he's going to address the deficit and the debt. Well, the deficit's over $1 trillion. He voted for Trump's tax bill that caused this deficit to spiral out of control. What's he doing to address the deficit, Mark Ballard?
Well, tell me, because I don't know. I think he's just talking about it for the most part, but that's what politicians do.
And today, before we go to the phones, John Neely Kennedy is on the front page of The Advocate, speaking yesterday during an anti-abortion rally outside the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington as the Supreme Court hears a case in Louisiana with wide-ranging implications about doctor privileges. And John Neely Kennedy is the same guy who was the counsel for Buddy Romer back in 1990 when he vetoed two anti-abortion bills. He's had an epiphany on this issue.
As often happens with politicians, and they decide that their heartfelt positions need to change, that often happens. This is going to be a very important case deciding. The Supreme Court has already decided a Texas case, but which is essentially the same issues. This one is going to be, because Louisiana is not the same size as Texas, is going to be, I think, pivotal and probably the largest case on abortion that we're going to see in the next couple of years, Jim, certainly for the last few.
Jim and Walker, you're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. Yeah, about our president coronavirus, our problem is that he's dumber than a sack of rocks, and he's put Mike Pence in charge, and Mike Pence was in charge of the largest HIV outbreak in his state ever. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. People need to be held, you know, criminally responsible if people die. I don't know any other way to put it. It's just unconscionable. It is incitement to riot. It's like going and yelling fire in a crowded movie house. Go to work. Good Lord.
What do you really think, Jim? Well, the president and Mulvaney, his chief of staff, they've called this a hoax, thinking the media are trying to fan the flames and make this a bigger story than it is. But this is the same president who called on President Obama to resign because, according to Donald Trump, he mishandled the Ebola crisis. So now the shoe is on the other foot, and it's not very comfortable, Mark.
And again, I mean, this is a political thing. I mean, the president has said a lot of things. Remember that he demanded that that President Obama charge Hillary for riding on Air Force One, yet you never hear that with all of the folks that he has riding on Air Force One. So, I mean, it's...
All right. Nicole Giannico writes, Nicoletta Giannico writes, can Mark comment on the St. Joseph Academy decision to prohibit students to return to school after a trip to Italy? She says the message is, in her view, pure hypocrisy. Infect your family and everyone else, but stay away from our school. That's from Nicoletta. What do you think?
Well, I think that the shelter-in-place kind of argument is that it's to keep the folks from, because this virus spreads through breathing, we think, I mean, and coughs and that sort of thing, that to keep the people who might be infected away from others, such as their fellow students at St. Joseph's Academy. I don't think it's so crazy. I think it's a cautious idea.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard of The Advocate, Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the call. My question to Mr. Ballard is, I'd like to see whether The Advocate would actually put out an editorial suggesting what we really should do about the coronavirus. What we see on TV is wear the mask, but the mask is to protect you from passing it on. What we really need to do, from what I understand, is wash your hands well. They even suggest 20 minutes. But washing our hands,
20
and
minutes?
Don't put our hands in our mouth.
Yeah, I think it's
like
20
to
seconds.
See an editorial.
Yeah, 20 minutes would be a long hand washing, but...
Yeah. I think he's singing Happy Birthday twice, is how long it takes. And actually, I would have to say that since I'm the guy that has been editing most of these coronavirus stories, that those type of tips are in the stories. We're doing that. Perhaps we should, do a separate little box that will say these are the things that you should be doing. But we have been reporting that in the story.
Well, another listener, Bobby in Metairie, asks about the story that's front page of Section B today in The Advocate about State Representative Kathy Edmondson, Ascension Parish Republican, arrested Tuesday and accused of driving while intoxicated on Airline Highway. Bobby says that he thinks she should resign. Well, this is one mistake. I don't know that it's cause for resignation, it's cause for concern, but obviously people will be looking very closely at Representative Edmondson. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that she's going to have to do something so that that's not what we know her by, when she gets here to the legislature. And, I'm willing to kind of give her a pass on the first one, once she does what is necessary legally to do that, and hope that she, learns and sins no more. So I think it is a little bit early to start demanding resignations. My own opinion.
Yeah,
obviously there's others that think differently.
One mistake, I think, is okay. Well, it's not okay, but...
It's not okay, but we can forgive her a little bit, and see what she does.
As long as it's one and done. When I was living on Spanish Town Road in 1983, a state representative who I was covering at the Capitol, one morning I walked to work, and we had our office downtown, and this guy comes down the street, and he's ramming into every car on both sides of the street, just totally blitzed. And he gets arrested, of course, for DWI, and this same guy ended up serving many years in the state legislature and ran for attorney general to be the state's chief law enforcement officer. So people do have second acts in their life.
Yes, yeah. And then, if we made, if there have been at least, three or four who have been arrested for DWI, since I've been covering it for about a decade. And again, it comes back to what happens, what do they do next, and they stop drinking and driving. Mm-hmm. That's, of course, the first and top. But, do they lean into their work here at the legislature?
Well,
otherwise, they become known for the guy that got arrested.
As we know, it also happens to a few journalists every now and then. It happens to people, and as long as it's not a chronic matter, I think Representative Edmondson deserves a second shot. But if this is a pattern of behavior, then that's a whole different story. Another listener, Mark, asks about Dan Fagan, who is the resident conservative columnist in The Advocate. Yesterday, he wrote a column saying legislation could save high school girls' sports. This is from Beth Mizell, the Franklinton Republican. She's filed a bill for the upcoming session prohibiting transgender athletes from competing in high school or college sports at publicly funded schools, saying that they have a unfair competitive advantages. Dan Fagan makes his case. He finishes by saying one could argue if biological males are allowed to compete against females, then it will eventually lead to the end of women's sports as we know it. Your thoughts, Mark Ballard?
That bill's not going anywhere. That's my thoughts on that. I just don't see that. Do we have an issue of transgender high school athletes? I've not heard of one.
I haven't heard
Perhaps
it.
You
but,
can help me.
But Dan's been following cases in other states, and he says in another state some transgender athletes won sprint races, and he says it's an unfair advantage. And he also notes that her bill is similar to ones filed in Tennessee, Georgia, Washington, New Hampshire, and Arizona. And that is a good point in that a lot of these lawmakers, they have these meetings, and they get together, and they file bills all over the country that are almost identical, Mark.
They do, and that's one of them that when I read the bill, I recognized this. It was coming out. The idea is to kind of build up an issue that people can get angry about, and the anger energizes them, and that's what this is about.
Here's another one that has political implications. Governor Edwards planned to give nearly $1 million in pay raises to his staff, cabinet secretaries, and other political appointees. Is being opposed. Some are saying that this should not happen when there's a proposed $500,000 reduction in state dollars sent to parish senior centers. Your take on this, Mark?
But on the one side, you have these are appointed employees who get paid actually fairly well, and they have not had raises in years, and so that was what their they're arguing for is that there should be raises, and the raises are kind of modest across the board. On the other hand, the critics are absolutely right, is that you're going to be raising here, but you're not going to be, you know, increasing teacher pay. You're not going to be should that money, the leftover money, be spent on something else? I mean, those are legitimate issues that that will be discussed at great length here at the state capitol over the next few months.
And most of these people already earn over $200,000, and the governor, by the way, does not earn that kind of money. $135,000, I believe, is what our governor is paid. We'll be back and spend a few more minutes with Mark Ballard after this quick pause on WRK. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Mark Ballard of The Advocate, 877-217-5757. The session starts Monday, and we're about to talk with Stephanie Posa from the Louisiana Association for Justice about tort reform. But, Mark, this one is one that the battle lines are being drawn, and the governor is not playing a real good hand in that he's on the opposite side of many lawmakers, and the opposite party, the Republican Party, is in full control at the Capitol. Right now, where does it stand as far as both sides?
Well, I think, yes, you're right. This is going to be the issue that we'll be fighting over. The governor has come out with ideas that he would be acceptable to some of the tort reforms, but not all of them. The Democrats have filed what I'm calling the Luno legislation, which is bills that would force the insurance companies not to use certain variables in setting rates, and so that's going to be where the fight is. Where the Democrats are going to be saying, you know, let's do some rate control through the Luno legislation, and the Republicans are going to want all four of their major issues, and they may get one or two. And I think that, you know, they're holding this threat of an override over the governor, a veto override over the governor, but it's going to be a little more difficult because a lot of those Republicans who would vote along with it are also trial lawyers. That is, lawyers who represent plaintiffs when they're suing businesses.
Well, we also have a report here that Elizabeth Warren has now withdrawn from the Democratic field for president. So, Mark,
oh, wow. Okay.
Got Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. And Joe Biden right now is looking like he's going to get the nomination. And a week ago, it looked like he was toast. Things changed rather quickly.
Well, yeah, I'm not ready to coronate Joe Biden yet, but I mean, what we are going to have is, I think, a very pure discussion of policies for the Democratic Party, if they're going to become more liberal as Bernie Sanders represents, or are they going to stay more moderate as Joe Biden represents, as Governor Edwards represents?
Well, the betting odds in Las Vegas now have Biden at 85.4% to get the Democratic nomination. So it's looking like the 77-year-old senator from Delaware, who became the vice president of the United States for two terms, will likely be the Democratic nominee. But we shall see.
However, last week at this time, weren't we pretty much writing his obituary?
That is true. Things do
change.
Mark, we hope to catch up with you next week. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.